Well, when was the last time you took a sickie? Was it a legitimate day off because you weren't well? That's what we're going to talk about now, legitimate sickies. We'll take, we take throughout Australia about 90 million sick days a year at a cost of more than $33 billion to the Australian economy. Now, that's a very, very big amount of money. That's also a lot of lost productivity, and it shows that the sickie has become a normal part of our working life, doesn't it? The question is, why do we have so much time off, and should employers be doing more to keep their workers on top of things? Terry Robson is the editor of the Wellbeing magazine, and he's on the line now. G'day, Terry.
Hello, Alan.
Good to see you're not on a sickie today, mate.
No, I turned up today.
You turned up. Listen, let's begin by establishing exactly what we're talking about here. Are we talking about real sickies that I'm not well to come to work and not the, you know, the fabled Aussie sickie of, oh, I think I'll just have a day off?
Well, I guess there's two things there. The stats do say that we can't lead the world in sick days taken. We have about, on average, per person, 10 sick days a year. Those figures that you gave before break down to that. And Direct Health Solutions, their survey tells us that in the world, that's up right up the top. We are heading there. So, look, sometimes those are days that are not legitimate. There are other times, though, where it is very legitimate. And a lot of those legitimate ones, the research is telling us, is related to something that's not very well addressed in the workplace always, and that is mental health.
Yeah, and look, every time we talk about health these days, mental health seems to get into the conversation, doesn't it? And this is certainly a pretty accurate one. The amount of pressure and stress being put on us in the workplace, it's having its toll.
Well, it is, you know, and I think it's part of the workplace is changing as well. We've got it's a digital workplace now, and you can potentially be working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And the world is grappling with this, Alan. It's a big issue in terms of the workplace and individual health. In fact, in France, they have legislated what they call a right to disconnect law, which means this applies to companies that have over 50 employees. They must state explicitly to their employees that you have a right not to answer emails and not to take telephone calls at certain times of the day. That's part of their legislation now. And I think that's a very enlightened approach, because if you look at the Australian situation, estimates are that 1 in 5 people, so that's 20% of people, are experiencing some form of mental stress related to their workplace. And you mentioned that $33 billion figure before about losses to the economy. Of that, more than a third, about $12 billion, is down to mental health and people taking what we call, you know, mental health days. It's part of our lexicon. We say that, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Mental health day. Yeah. And it's fully accepted. So what are the employers doing then? This is obviously a new area that they have to deal with.
Yeah, it is, and it they know it too. You know, I'm editor of Wellbeing magazine. I'm also part of something called Wellbeing Grow, which is a workplace wellness program where we go into workplaces and we say, look, we'll help you get your employees well. And as part of that, we've been doing a podcast, and we've been talking to HR directors I've spoken to the HR director from AMP in Australia, from Commonwealth Bank Australia, from Holden Australia. I've spoken to an assistant police commissioner. I've spoken to a minister in the New South Wales government. They all recognise that mental health is a really big issue, and the way to address that is to engage with employees and to start the dialogue and not to turn away from it, to make mental health not taboo, something that we can address. Because, you know, the estimates are, Alan, that 45% of all adults will experience a mental health challenge at some time in their life.
What do we mean, though, Terry, when we say employers have to open dialogue with their employees about mental health? Does it mean the boss calls me in and says, Alan, how are you coping?
Well, look, you've hit on the question, because this is what I ask all the HR people. And look, this is what we're all working at. How do you do this properly? Mm. And look, I know that is part of it. I think it's partly being able, you know, for employees to know that their boss's door is open and they can say, look, I'm struggling here. This is hard. So that's a cultural thing. That's something you have to, as an organisation, you have to work it. It's not going to happen tomorrow. You have to start to put, you know, programs in place. You have to start to show employees that you care about them. And this is what the big organisations are doing. They're proactively putting programs running through the organisation that make the employees realise, look, this place I'm working doesn't just see me as a robot that comes in and goes away and has to have output. They see me as someone who they also have to look after. Mm. So it's part of creating a workplace where employees feel valued, where they feel that they are part of something, that they matter as an individual, and that they therefore can talk to their boss. And when times come when, you know, things are getting a bit out of hand, could be at home, doesn't have to be in the workplace, where you're starting to suffer a bit mentally, you can have that discussion.
We're talking about a huge culture change here, though, aren't we, Terry? Given the push for higher profits, you know, the bottom line, the margin, yeah. Really, is the CEO or the general manager or whatever, A, is he qualified? Is he or she qualified to actually get you to come in and confide? But also, you know, the pressure on them to keep the focus on the bottom line is going to win out all the time, isn't it?
Well, it is, but, you know, and this is where, this is the encouraging piece of information. So if you are a CEO, listen up right now, because the research tells us that for every $1 as an organisation you invest in health and wellbeing of your employees, you get $6 back. So your return on investment is six to one. You are actually making money by investing in the health and well-being of your employees. If you treat them as something that you just push until they fall over, you're actually doing the wrong thing by the business. And this kind of research, Alan, is out there now. The organisations know it. I mean, you know, organisations are not altruistic. They have to have, as you've hit right on it, they have to have a good business reason to do something, and there is a very good business reason. They know that if they invest in the well-being of their employees, the company prospers. And that's, so there is actually, this is actually starting to happen right around the world. Businesses are starting to put back into their employees, and it's going to take a bit of time.
All right, let me throw another scenario at you then, Terry. I agree, I accept what you're saying, but let's use one of the big banks as an example. Recently, before Christmas last year, they said they were going to get rid of 5,000 workers. Now, there's potentially 5,000 workers who have, you know, got a career within one of the big four banks.
Yep.
5,000 of them are going to be shown the door by the end of the year.
Yep.
Now, what's that doing to their health?
Well, look, that's a really good example, and I was blown away when I interviewed Ashley Winnett, who is the, I think his title is Director of Human Resources at Holden Australia. Mm. They had a very similar scenario to what you just outlined.
Yeah. Well, we've just closed our plant here. Yeah, so thousands, 3,500 fellows out the door.
85, now they knew that, and they, I think it was 2 years before they had to leave, people knew they were losing their job. So, but you still had to continue working for an organisation knowing that in 2 years you would no longer have a job. Now, they recognise that, look, just because these people will not be working for us in 2 years doesn't mean we don't have an obligation to them. So they started working with those people, and 85% of them, through Holden working with the people, retraining them, reskilling them, they got them other employment before their two years had come up. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what I think organisations are realising, that it is happening, that they have to give back. They can't just keep taking. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, then you also attract people to your organisation, who people want to work for you.
Make it more attractive, I see your point. Just one final point. I don't know what the minimum or what the maximum sickies you can have without a medical certificate. I think it varies depending on what award you work under. Is that putting another piece of pressure on the workers that, I need more than 10 days off this year because I'm just getting worse and worse and worse?
Yeah, look, I think it is, and I think that's where you've just got to be able, you need to say, look, I need some help, and realise that doesn't undermine you as an employee, that organisations don't see just because you need help, you're not valuable anymore. I think, and the sooner we do that, the better. And, I think there was a... The problem was in the old culture, there was an us and them mentality. You know, we're the workers, they're the bosses. Mm. They're not going to want me if I'm not here all the time. That is really dissolving. And I think if you talk to management early on, when things start to happen for you, they will want to help you. They'll want to keep you because it's in their interest to keep people in companies. It costs the business a lot to lose workers. They want people to stay in their company. Mm. So open up that dialogue, don't be afraid to say it. I think the world has evolved to a point now where we are able to talk about mental health or whatever other condition you've got.
Mm.
Yeah, talk to your employer and start the process.
Fantastic. Good advice as always. Terry Robson, editor of Wellbeing Magazine.